Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk, and we're also online at kpcg.fm with a live link at thetrumpet.com. And of course, our programs are available in podcast form. That goes for this program and all of the programming here on KPCG. Well, people often don't agree on too much in this life. You may have noticed there's a lot of division when it comes to about any topic you can think of. But there is one thing that I think most people can agree on, and that is that there are a lot of different interpretations of what the Bible teaches. People aren't usually in agreement on what the Bible teaches, but they'll agree, I think, that there are different interpretations, different ideas, different thoughts about the Bible. And not just different thoughts on how the text should be translated from Hebrew or Greek to English, but people can read the exact same English words in the Bible and have very different thoughts about what they mean, or if they apply, or if they're relevant, or if they're literal, or if they're figurative. So many different thoughts and ideas. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, it notes this. It says, the Bible is the most misunderstood book in history. A pretty straightforward statement there, but one that's very true and worth thinking about. The Bible is the most misunderstood book in history. Why is that the case? We'll notice a passage here. We have a few passages today. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out and look at it. Look at these scriptures with me. See if we can agree on what they say. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. Here we get some insight into why people have different thoughts when it comes to the Bible. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible does something. It's useful in something that people struggle with. And that is, the Bible is useful in correcting us. Correcting us. And most people simply don't want to be corrected. Now, I don't know too many people that want to sign up for correction and get in line for it necessarily. But from time to time, we all need some correction in life. And some people just flat out won't be corrected. And of course, many people are very negative towards correction. Think of social movements that are contrary to God's word. You know, in relation to, say, perverted lifestyles, I have heard different commentators say that the Bible is out of date, so we don't need to follow it. You know, there's people that are engaging in perverted lifestyles, but they still want to be spiritual on some level or consider themselves to be that. So there gets to be a bit of a problem, because if they look at the Bible speaks against those lifestyles. And so they say, well, it's out of date. That may be back then that made sense, but not today. Well, but that's their own interpretation. That's their own thought. Why do they have that thought? Because they don't want to be corrected. Now, others will say that the Bible actually condones perverted lifestyles. I've heard that. Maybe you have, too. And still others say some of the Bible is good, but some of it shouldn't be followed. You got to pick and choose. In all of those cases, people living and supporting perverted lifestyles just don't want to change. They don't want to change, so they have to justify themselves and ignore God's word. Ignore it, or say it doesn't really mean what it appears to say, because they don't want to be corrected. The correspondence course says, how many people do you know who are willing to be corrected when they are in error, to be reproved for the wrong things they do? People simply do not like to be reproved and corrected. They love praise. They like flattery. But reproof and correction, they surely hate. Now, again, that's the human condition, apart from God. It's something everyone has to battle against. We all like to be praised, but being corrected is hard. It's a hard thing to take. There's something interesting here if you consider what we just read there in 2 Timothy. Let's notice something about reproof and correction. Now, reproof is a word we don't use as often. We don't probably use that in our day-to-day conversations. It is an expression of blame or disapproval. That's what it means, an expression of blame or disapproval. So it ties right in with correction. Similar words are rebuke, reprimand, admonish. And so that's what reproof means, an expression of blame or disapproval. Rebuke, reprimand, admonish. Reproof is being shown where we are wrong. Somebody saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. That's reproof. And then correction is fixing the problem. So if we accept the reproof, but we don't go on then to change to make the correction, then we're not really following through there either. You know, sometimes people will listen to reproof or they'll hear it in terms of sit there and listen to it, but then not actually make the changes. So that's not effective either. To really have the Bible be an effective tool in our lives, we have to be open to reproof and then correction. Being told where we're wrong, being shown where we're wrong, and then making some changes. And if we're really digging into our Bibles and striving to do that, then, you know, a lot of that can be sort of a self-correction, you know, where we don't have to have it be a bigger situation than that. But again, we have to dig into the Bible and really look at where we can change and grow and improve and become, as it says there in 2 Timothy, a perfect man, a perfect person. And of course, that's a work in progress. We're working on that. Sometimes people say they were corrected when they actually mean they were reproved. You know, being talked to by somebody and being told, here's where you were wrong, that's being reproved. Actually changing, making the changes, that's being corrected. So we have to make sure we follow through on both sides of that, both parts of that. And sometimes we can get into the habit of being reproved by the Bible, you know, reading something and saying, yep, I can see I'm wrong, I need to change that, and then not changing it. And so in that case, the Bible is not being used effectively. Romans 2 and verse 13 warns us that, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And so God's fully aware that this is a proclivity that humans have, where we at times will hear things, but we may not actually follow through on them. And so there's a specific warning there in Romans 2 and verse 13. It's not just the hearers of the law, but it is the doers. We have to be reproved and corrected by the word of God. The correspondence course says, now do you see why it is so difficult for people to understand the Bible and to agree on just what it says? The Bible is God's great spiritual mirror. It shows up every flaw in our thinking, reveals every spot on our characters. It pictures us as we really are, as God sees us, not as we like to think we are, or as we like to have other people look upon us. It really lays us bare, our intents, our thoughts, our motivations, and that can be difficult because we don't like to think of ourselves that way, and we don't like people to think of us that way. But the reality is we do need to be reproved and corrected by God's word. Notice this in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Bible opens up and exposes our innermost thoughts. And oftentimes, we don't want our innermost thoughts exposed because they can be quite wicked. There is a wickedness in the heart of man, and we have to really make sure that we let God's word open up our understanding to where we're wrong and what we need to change and how we need to change it. And so we really have to make sure that God's word is being used the right way, that we're applying it in our lives. It's that sharp two-edged sword. It's that sharp two-edged sword. And so we really have to look at it and use it and let it not just reprove us, but also to correct us. It discerns our thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, sometimes man tries to do that to other people. You see that in the media today with a lot of these social movements and accusing certain groups of wicked intent and wicked thoughts and so forth. Well, humans don't have the ability to do that. We can't read the hearts of somebody else. We don't know. We don't know what's in someone else's heart, but God does, and God's word shows that. God's word shows that. So we have to be careful there too, that we don't think, you know, we just know what someone else is thinking or what their motivation is. We don't know those things. But God's word reveals the intents and the thoughts that are in our own hearts. And so we have to really use God's word the right way. And again, that's not an easy thing because it's hard to take correction and to change. Notice this quote from the correspondence course. It says, "And so men began centuries ago to interpret the Bible. Instead of acknowledging the truth, men seek to justify their own ways by perverting the sacred and holy word of God." And so I think we can begin to see here again more clearly why there are so many different thoughts when it comes to what the Bible says. Because people don't want to be corrected. And yet, to come forward and just honestly say, you know, that a person doesn't want to be corrected and therefore they disregard the Bible and they're not going to follow it, they don't believe it. You know, most people won't do that. They want to be considered righteous and good and spiritual. And so there's interpretations of God's word that come out. And people are trying to justify their own ways instead of just looking at the word of God and seeing what it says and following it. They want to have their own ways. So that's something we have to be on guard against. If we're going to use the Bible correctly and really understand it, we've got to accept what it says and then apply it. Otherwise, people begin to pervert it in their thinking because they want to justify their own ways. Notice this passage here in Psalms 119 and verse 105. David writing here, and he's talking about God's word and how beneficial it was to him, how valuable it was to him in his life. And he says in, again, Psalms 119 and 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so as David was going through his life, he was using God's word to show him which direction to go. And of course, as is recorded in the Bible, he made some pretty big mistakes, but he repented. See, he let God's word reprove him, tell him where he was wrong, and then he made changes. You know, he changed. He repented. He didn't try to justify himself. You know, he really did repent and change. He didn't try to, you know, get around God's word. He let it correct him. And so he set us a marvelous example in repenting. And he did use God's word as a lamp unto his feet when he was walking through life, the journey of life. There's so many things that can trip us up. There are so many paths that are the wrong path. There's a way that seems right to man, right? But the ends thereof are the ways of death. And we think that we're going the right direction or we're going in a way that'll work out or maybe, you know, it'd be a good idea. And really, it's not. But how are we going to know that if we're just walking around in the dark spiritually? We need God's word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But if we're going to use that light effectively, we're going to have to let it correct us. You know, it'd be like using a flashlight to show us which direction to go. And when we see that we're not going the right way, we turn the flashlight off and keep walking. Well, what good would that flashlight be? That would be, no, on a physical, in that physical example, I mean, that would be ridiculous. If you heard about somebody doing that, you'd say, well, why in the world did they turn the flashlight off, keep going, and then, you know, fall down the ravine? But spiritually, people do that, where they just don't like what the Bible shows them, and so they turn it off. They turn off the light, and they just keep walking in darkness. But it comes back to a willingness to be reproved and corrected and to change. So the Bible is a light, and it reveals truth, and it also reveals error. And people that continue to live in error do not want their error exposed. They don't want it exposed, and so they shut off that light. They don't want to really look into it. They don't really want to look and see what it says. They find an interpretation of it, or, you know, they'll listen for somebody that will tell them something that they find to be acceptable for their lifestyle, and then they'll just go with that. You know, how often have you heard people say, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, or Jesus did this, or Jesus did that, and they have no idea. It's just something they've heard, and it sounds pretty good. But they don't look into it, because the deeper we look into the Word of God, the deeper we see that we need correction, and we need to change, and we need to go a different direction. People that ignore the Bible or try to interpret it according to what they want it to say are perverting the truth of God. We can't interpret it to make it say what we want it to say. The challenge for God's people is to look into the Word of God and then live by every word of it. And of course, that requires Bible study, to really look into the Word of God and then put it to use in our lives. Again, it's of no value if we just look at it and then don't use it. And of course, if we don't look at it, there's no value there at all. It's not easy. It's not easy to be reproved and to be corrected. It's not easy to be reproved and be corrected. But notice what it leads to. Notice what it leads to. If we take God's word and we apply it in our lives and we use it and we're corrected by it, notice what it leads to. This is in John 8 and verse 32. John 8 and verse 32. It says, "And you shall know the truth." It's Christ speaking here. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. Well, what's included in the truth? Well, the right way to go, where we're wrong, what we need to do to change, all of those things, that's truth. You hear today people talk about their truth. You know, well, my truth is this or my truth is that. That's nonsense. God's truth is the only truth that there is. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we hear a lot about freedom today. People want the freedom to make all kinds of choices. Of course, the irony is, the further away we get from God, the more confining it is, the more imprisoned people are to their own problems. And even society itself is locking down in more and more ways. We don't see a lot of freedom today. We see a lot of slavery, really. And there's going to be more and more of that. Slavery to sin, slavery to corruption, on all sorts of levels. But to be truly free, we must live by the truth of God. We have to live by the truth of God. And then, as Christ said there in John 8, when we know that truth, that'll set us free. But again, we have to be reproved and we have to be corrected. Let's look back one more time here at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. And understand why the Bible is the most misunderstood book in history and how we can understand it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable," it says, "for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We have to use it for doctrine, a set of laws, rules. How do we live? What do we do? For reproof, when we look at our lives and we see, okay, you know, I haven't gone the right way here. I need to change it. And then for correction, taking action and making changes, and then learning how to be righteous, instruction in righteousness. And that requires change. And the purpose of that is what? Well, as it says here in verse 17, that the man of God, somebody that's really seeking God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, and then as Christ said, when we know that truth, when we apply it, when we live by it, it's going to set us free. It's going to set us free. More and more, the world is becoming a darker place. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of confusion. And what people are doing inevitably is looking around and trying to find something to blame. I'm upset because of this, or I'm upset because of that. But the solution to those problems is right here in the Word of God. And we need to understand God's Word today more than ever because of how confusing society is becoming around us. How confusing it's becoming. The Bible is the most misunderstood book in the world, but it does not have to be misunderstood by us. If your mind's open to God's Word, you have to make sure that you use it for reproof and for correction. Hear and look and find where we can improve and grow and then make those changes. And then that light of God's Word just shines more and more, and we can clearly see the path that God is leading us down. And it'll keep us out of all those terrible pitfalls that we see society falling into more and more and more. God's Word's a valuable tool, but we have to use it. And we have to use it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Then we'll understand the Bible, and it will be very profitable to us. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.